Good morning and welcome to worship. I'm Pastor Bob. Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we can come and worship today in your house, Lord. I pray that you will bless us as we praise you together, Lord. We know that you knew us from the very beginning and that you know us now. You know our needs, Lord. We pray that we open our hearts, that your Holy Spirit will inspire us and come in to us, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Every knee will bow before you, Lord. Lord, you are almighty, all-powerful, and no one can stop you. No one can compare to you, Lord. We thank you that you love us so much that you sent your Son, Jesus, to rescue us from the bondage of our selfishness. We thank you that nothing can separate us from your love and that we are yours forever. Good Father, we thank you that as any good parent does, that you listen to the requests of your children. We thank you, Lord, for the bounty that you've given us, but some of us are burdened with physical, emotional, and relational pain and suffering. Lord, you feel our pain. We are not alone. That you are with us always. Be with us. Comfort us. Lord, we are surrounded by a hurting world who needs the love and peace that we have found in you. Show yourself through your Spirit to our friends and relatives who hurt. Lead them into your loving arms. And guide our leaders, Lord. Give them wisdom so that the world may reflect the kingdom of God. We thank you that in your love, even our failings are erased. And when we face your almighty goodness and compassion for us, we can only offer our thanks and praise to you.
This is the conclusion of the chapter that Pastor Kim has us camping out in. So here's verse 31 through 39 from Romans 8. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the people said,
amen.
Please be seated.
Well, thank you, Becky, for that reading of Scripture. And as you know, this is from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Romans. Now, Paul was trained as a Pharisee in the laws of God. And we can tell by the questions that the Pharisees ask in the Gospels that they thought like lawyers. And in the book of Romans, this former Pharisee lays out his best argument for the Christian faith. And he pulls out all the stops to explain it as logically and as thoroughly as he can. You know, and Paul's background as a Pharisee shows through in the arguments that he makes. Now, most of us are not creatures of the law in the way a first century Pharisee would be. And so it's easy for us to kind of gloss over the legal arguments and the language that Paul uses. However, when we do that, we don't do justice to Paul's message. Now, in the passage that was just read, Paul asks a series of rhetorical questions. And I want to dive deeper into those questions, to give those questions kind of the justice and the thoroughness that they deserve. So I'm going to do this in the form of a trial. We have a little setup here for this right now. And the purpose of a trial, of course, is to reveal what is genuine and what is true, and to expose what is false. And Paul wants to demonstrate that Christianity is genuine. So to assist me, I've asked some of the lawyers in our congregations to come on up. So we have to imagine a first century courtroom. So we have the judge, Almighty God, represented on this platform. Now there's an empty chair here, so you'll just have to use your imagination. We'll have a prosecutor or an accuser to make the case against the argument. Kevin has agreed to play this role with relish, I think.
Zealously represent my clients.
And we also will need a defense team. Now, Paul was trained as a Pharisee. He was able to stand on his own. So playing the role of Paul, we have Mike. And lastly, in a courtroom, you will have a clerk or a scribe, more likely, in terms of the first century. And Donna has agreed to play that role, to read what's been on the record. Now, you know, in Paul's time, this painting up here is of Paul before King Agrippa. It may have looked like that, but we're going to make do kind of with our more modern rendition of this. And lastly, I will play the role of the narrator. All right. Well, let us begin with opening arguments. And the accuser will begin.
Your Honor, if I may. We're all privileged to be here in the presence of our Lord Almighty, who deserves all our praise and who has all authority, power, and wisdom. This Paul has already admitted that creation itself has been frustrated and is currently in bondage to decay because of these same humans that Paul now champions. Allow me to read into the record some of the past actions of these humans. Will the scribe please read back from the record Genesis chapter 3, verses 2 through 3 and 6 through 7.
The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. And so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves."
So, all of creation was wisely cursed by God Almighty because of humanity's actions. God's word is the law. Humanity is condemned. Now, how can Paul be so bold as to argue that this same humanity has any hope? Humanity has already been condemned. Who is this Paul to contradict God's judgment? I will prove that Paul is wrong and that humanity has no hope because it already stands condemned.
My God, I am a servant of your Son, Jesus Christ, and I too have been set apart for your gospel. I acknowledge that humanity is controlled by sin and under the law stands condemned. However, I will demonstrate that it is through Jesus that the impossible has been done. Will the scribe please read my previous statement in Romans 8, verses 1 through 3?
So now there is any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. God has done what was impossible for the law, since it was weak because of selfishness. God condemns sin in the body by sending his own Son to deal with sin in the same body as humans who are controlled by sin.
So, now we have the opening positions. So the first point to argue is, does God condemn us?
Your Honor, Paul has already admitted in his opening statement that humanity is condemned by God's law. If God is against humanity, what further argument is needed? Surely Paul does not think he is above God's law. Would the scribe please read Paul's own admission in Romans 8?
The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God.
Gracious God, it is true that the flesh is weak and is rightly condemned by the law. I have explicitly acknowledged this. However, not only is humanity weak, but the law itself is also weak when compared to you, our God. For I say, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Remember where God allowed Abraham to spare his son Isaac, but God himself did not spare his own son. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God's own son, demonstrates that God is for us, not against us. God has held nothing back for us, not even his own son. And as I've said earlier, it is through Jesus, God's son, that we have been set free from the law of sin and of death.
Aha, there it is. So Paul himself again admits that humanity is condemned. The law is the law, and Paul cannot change that.
Yes, absolutely. We are subject to the law, and we have been condemned. However, we have an advocate. Will the scribe please read the testimony of the Apostle John given in the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2.
But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
So Jesus has paid the price for our condemnation, and Jesus will hold nothing back for us. And if we are in Christ, we cannot be condemned. For if God is with us, who can condemn us? Nobody. But what about the charge that we are subject to the law?
Very well, very well. I will stipulate that Jesus of Nazareth is an advocate for these people. However, they are still subject to the requirements of the law. Does Paul, or should I say Saul, think that he can fool the law by a wave of his hands as easily as he changed his name?
Almighty God, it is true that on our own we cannot satisfy the requirements of the law. However, I do not claim that we on our own can make the law so weak that it does not apply to us. Independently, we are lost. We need help, and we receive that help through the Spirit of God. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set us free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. In conclusion, we do not become acceptable to God on our own, but it is God himself who does this for us. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? For it is God who justifies.
So if we are justified or made right, made whole by God, who can bring a higher charge against us? As Paul said, nobody. But are we condemned too by earthly authorities?
Well, Your Honor, I have many other witnesses who will condemn these Christians. They have been condemned by the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Romans. All the earthly authorities have legally condemned them for treason and sedition. Ask the court to recognize these verdicts. And Paul himself should be condemned as a hypocrite, someone who has turned his back upon his Pharisee teachers and mentors.
Well, there are additional witnesses. Will the scribe please read the testimony from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 11?
At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased."
The same Jesus whom God has acknowledged as his Son was condemned by the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Romans. All the earthly authorities have condemned Jesus for treason and sedition. But what weight does their ruling have against God's own Son? Absolutely none. They are inferior authorities. What about these Christians, people who follow Jesus? I say, therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. If a person is a follower of Christ, they have been pardoned and set free through Christ Jesus.
So the accuser is asked, who on earth can condemn us? And again, the answer is no one. But it's no one because we are in Christ. But can we be separated from Christ?
Your Honor, we acknowledge that you have claimed Jesus Christ as your Son. We also acknowledge that through Jesus Christ and the Spirit, humans can be set free from the law of sin and death. However, we have seen that humanity is fickle, just as Paul is. Humanity could not keep just one little commandment in the Garden of Eden. How can any of them remain in Christ in the face of trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? The truth is, they will not. They will submit to their own selfish desires for self-preservation.
I acknowledge and I readily confess that we are weak. However, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. It is through the Spirit that God can work in us. Will the scribe please read my statement in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30?
And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified.
Therefore, it is not through our own strength, but through God's strength and his call to us that we can remain in Christ. I adamantly disagree that the burdens mentioned by my foe will cause a Christian to separate from their call. I, Paul, have faced many of these things, and it has not destroyed my faith. Because of my experience, I can say, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The burdens that a Christian faces are not new and will not cause them to fail. Suffering, even death for a Christian, is not a sign of separation from God or his love, but rather an opportunity to follow Jesus. Psalm 44 tells us that when we are suffering for God, we should trust God and not trust in our own strength. We should trust God even to the point of death. Will the scribe please read Psalm 44, verse 22?
Yet for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.
Indeed, but if Christ is in you, even though your body is subject to death, because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. A physical death is not the end. Christians hope for more because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. For we eagerly await for our adoption to sonship, even the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently.
So who should separate us from the love of Christ? Nobody. Well, that's Paul's case. To demonstrate that this Christianity is genuine, and that what he says in Romans 8, verses 31 to 39, is true. Well, thank you, Mike, Donna, and Kevin. That was great. You know, Paul had to get beyond the law. As a Pharisee, he had been a faithful follower of God's will, but had been stuck in humanity's interpretation of what we thought God said. And at the time, humanity had codified God's word into 613 laws. And by extension, since these laws were what God wanted, if we could fulfill these laws, we could almost make ourselves righteous. And that was the game the Pharisees played. But the Pharisees aren't the only ones that fall into this trap, are they? We do the same thing. You know, is our faith really based upon God and what he has done? Or is it based on our interpretation of what God thinks we want to do, that we can live up to? Such as just living a good life. That's us doing that. But if we do what we want to do, we can't live up to God's laws. And then we are no better than the Pharisees who tried and failed. And the accuser would be right that we are condemned if we try to do this on our own with our own resources. Only by trusting in Jesus and trusting in what Jesus did and being attached to Jesus that we are above condemnation. When Paul found Jesus, he was changed. Paul's comfort was no longer in what he could do to obey the law, but rather in what God and Jesus did with the law for him. Now, if we really acknowledge who God is and how little we can do on our own, then we will let go of our will and we will die in Christ. Because it's God who makes us okay. And there is no condemnation for us to overcome even our own condemnation of ourselves at times. Because we are free of that. But God does more than satisfy the law, doesn't he? He raised up Christ so that we might share in what Jesus did for us. Because in Jesus, we have hope for our own resurrection so that we have no fear of death. And so we can die every day because Christ is with us now. And Christ will be with us tomorrow, and we will share in Christ's glory in the future and forever. So, dear friends, this is something that the flesh can't do on its own. However, in Christ, in God, we are more than conquerors. So in closing, Romans 8 is full of gems like this. And I find that if I have something to do, if God's calling me to do something, I have doubts. Because I can't necessarily do it on my own. But if I listen to Romans 8, I'm not on my own. I have the power, the backing of God, if I am acting in His will. And you have that too. We all have that, as long as we have that relationship with Christ Jesus. So I encourage you to read Romans 8 this week. Read the whole chapter. It's not that long. Read it multiple times. Ponder what Paul is saying in verses 38 and 39. That is there anything that would be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Are you convinced that nothing is? Or is there some doubt in your mind? Are you still trying to do it on your own to satisfy the law? Well, if so, pray, renew our faith in the Holy Spirit. Put aside anything that can separate you from Christ. Because as we said, if we are in Christ, no one can separate us from Him. So let us pray. Dear God, we thank You for Your law, which guides us on how to behave according to Your will. However, we also acknowledge our own ability to distort Your will and to reshape it according to our own desire. And we confess that we want to make ourselves acceptable to You by our own efforts. But this we cannot do. It is only through Your Spirit that we can come to You. It is only through Your Spirit that we can be spared condemnation. And it's only through Your Spirit that no one can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And it is only through Jesus Christ that we can be more than conquerors of anyone and anything who are against us. We thank You, God, for Your unfailing love. Amen. I've made my case that Romans 8 should almost be your new best friend in Scripture, because it really highlights that upon God, everything hangs. Our faith, our life, our future. So hold on to God. Draw on God's strength, not on our own. But go for in peace and with confidence this week that God is with you. So through the love of Christ, the guidance of the Spirit, go and practice what you've heard as Christians and as followers of God. Amen.